The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
From what I can hear of the rookie president is that he's transactional. He's a negotiator. So what is he promising? What is he granting or withholding? Rookie's error, Donald Trump. Maybe a great negotiator. Rookie's error for bringing this up in a day. And clearly we're not ready.
Debate on health care is life death. This is Armageddon. This is a very big deal.
It's time to talk money. Financial Guys. It's the Financial Guys radio program. It's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. Registered representatives with Peak Brokerage Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN. It's a new one, Frank. Love it.
Nice job, Frank.
I love it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. We'll owe you a little bit of a tip at the end of the show, I guess, huh? Keep it up. Keep up the good work. That's awesome. Funny stuff. News Radio 930 WBN, Mike Lomas, Club Wiggle Financial Guys. I feel like we live here, Glenn.
All right. we've been here a lot this week. Roll out the cot.
I know. Filling in for Sandy Beach twice.
Put us on the payroll. Be good.
That's right.
This year we'll get that invite to that holiday thing or the whatever they have every year.
The intercom invites us to the holiday thing. It's everybody else in the entertainment in the
like the Hall of Fame Award.
Yeah, radio, TV, everything else, I forget our invite, but Intercom treats us pretty well. At least we do get free hors d'oeuvres for the Christmas party, so that's cool.
Yep.
What else can you ask for, right?
Coffee.
Need. Debbie Mariacher takes care of us. That's true. That's important. Yep. By the way, thank you for Tim Wanger allowing us to fill in for the great Sandy Beach this week. Really cool. We have the opportunity to do that. You know, huge shoes to fill. Never actually be able to do that. There's no way, but always cool to have the opportunity. You know, Joe Beamer, Tony Caligiuri, all great people. You know, a lot of fun with those two. And we were, going back and forth with Beamer, Joe Beamer, having a ton of fun with him this week. So it was good. Always a great opportunity. It breaks up our week, too. I mean, usually Monday through Friday, we're managing money. And certainly we were in this week because Sandy wasn't feeling well. Well, I think he felt good. He just sounded terrible.
It's just that respiratory throat thing that everyone in the entire country seems to have.
Yeah.
I talk to people. We've got partners all over the country. I'm on the phone constantly talking to different folks, and I'm talking to people in California. They got the same hacking kind of cough.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not. You'd think, well, it's attributed to the cold weather, but it's really not. Yeah, there's been more people in our Florida office, I think, sick than our Buffalo office.
Yep.
So
it's going all around the country.
Absolutely. And, of course, I don't even know. There's no way we're going to get to everything today. I mean, I usually have two or three articles in front of me. We don't get to all that. But I have 10 or 15 things that you've printed out or that you emailed to me, and we'll never get to all of it. But
no, but with the market going on this week, I mean, we focused on a lot of the market stuff. And while everyone's focused on the roller coaster ride that this week was, behind the scenes and kind of quietly left out of a lot of the news is the fact that Todd Howe, which was the star witness against the Prococo, was arrested on Thursday night.
Yeah. It's seriously defense, like Goodfellas or the mob or something. I mean, absolutely
crazy.
One of the articles you sent me, Giambra, said the same thing. Like, unreal. It is really, truly unreal what's going on in Albany. And these are people, by the way, that are not only friends of Cuomo.
Oh,
out of their own mouth, it's they're just like brothers. They're family, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is inner circle, right? This is right there. So this Todd Howe is what, lobbyist and fundraiser. He was Cuomo's confidant. He was the chief of staff at HUD He's been the money guy, right? So he's been the guy who's been out there raising money. This guy is a dirt bag with a capital D.
Yep.
I mean, when you go through Howe admitted intentionally breaking 27 legally binding contracts, not paying his bills from contractors, landscapers, car mechanics, even his son's tutor. He said Howe said the now this is on the cross examination by Prococo's attorney trying to discredit Howe, which I mean, how much more discredit can you get than being arrested by the feds, right?
Which
I mean,
didn't take much, right?
It didn't take much.
Howe you don't need a Harvard educated attorney to cross examine this guy.
Honest to gosh, Howe said victims of his many schemes included friends he scammed out of $50,000 in 2007,
nice.
A second cousin who loaned him $82,000 to buy a house 20 years ago, based on Howe's promise to pay him back in a month and a half. Howe said he didn't make good on the deal for 5 years, but claimed that he couldn't recall if the relative had sued him and had his salary garnished to get the money back. How do you forget stuff like this? So, you know, the cross attorney is asking him, you know, so there were others who had to sue you in order to get the money. Oh, yeah, several, many, he answered under oath. Like, this is his inner circle. This is his buddy. This is the Goomba, the family of Governor Cuomo here, right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys, these guys are sending emails to each other talking about, we're going to need some more boxes of ziti over here, which is a term they use in The Sopranos. It's an email. They've got it, like, in testimony. Like, this is like a bad movie script, except the bad part is that we're paying their salaries.
Absolutely.
Right?
Record salaries,
this is
salaries,
New York. This is insanity to me.
Yeah, record salaries, by the way, record pensions, right? Just not enough for these scumbags. So it's a good thing, though, we ended that Moreland Commission to look into some of this stuff, right? When does this stuff bleed to Andrew, though? When does it say, okay, enough is enough? You've clearly surrounded yourself with dirt balls, right? The state is totally broke. When does New York City say, okay, enough is enough?
It's like
enough is enough.
It's the same thing. She gets away with they're still talking about Russia. I watched a news clip yesterday on Fox early this morning, I think actually it was. And it's amazing. They're still talking about, well, the proof is that they took a meeting with a Russian attorney, which was a total setup. They took a 30-minute meeting. No money or information was exchanged hands. Yeah. Now, what else has come out this week?
So what, by the way? So what? You're taking a meeting with a Russian attorney. So what? Why
not?
Don't you want good relations, right? If they weren't taking appointments with Russian attorneys, they'd be saying, look, they don't want to reach out, right? I thought we wanted to love everybody in the world, no?
But some of these Democrats, Adam Schiff and I can't think of the other guy's name, was actively reaching out and talking with Russian operatives to get what they thought. It was a total scam. They made a fool out of Schiff because one of the TV, I think radio stations over there played a prank on him basically and said they had nude photos of Trump and somebody else. And he bought it lock, stock, and barrel. He's like, when can we get a meeting? When can I fly them? When can I get my hands on these? When can I get these? This is the ranking Democrat member on the Intelligence Committee in the House. Like, this is scary stuff.
That's
right?
What you do, though, right? That's what the Republicans should do, is just plant fake and let them run with it. Here you go. Here you go. It's in this box over here, 2,000 miles away from you. Fly and go get it.
I mean, some of this stuff is really amazing.
Good news, though, this week, Glenn. Good news. I was up the other night all night. I know you were as well. The non-essential workers are back to work. And I don't know. I get confused now. We passed a budget, record amount of money that we're going to spend. Yep. And
can't find
a nickel to cut anywhere. You know, the shrimp running on a treadmill, why lesbians are fat, none of that is going to get cut out. In fact, we're going to spend even more. An absolute joke. And shame on Trump, actually, for signing this piece of legislation. Garbage. Shut the government down. Trump said months ago, he said, look, I'm up for an old-fashioned government shutdown. We should shut the government down. Instead, all the non-essential workers are right back to work. It's a joke. And please don't send this text. I work for the government. Look, we understand there's a lot of hardworking people that work in the government. And many of you have told me out of your own mouth that there's so much waste and you're sick and tired of it, right? And there's so many people that say, I work in this government agency, Mike, but you wouldn't believe the number of people who don't show up to work. You wouldn't believe the layers of administrative garbage that have no clue what we're doing, yet they're still on the payroll. There's all kinds of waste in government. We went through on Sandy Beach the other day. I should have saved it. I don't know if you still have it, Glenn, but the list of waste, you know, just the stupid things that we're spending money on, giving people money to start up pizzerias and everything else. And we're broke. We're broke. $20 trillion in the hole and climbing, right?
And climbing. Yeah, see, and that's the problem, right? So when you talk to the Republicans, like, well, we got to grow our way out of this.
Yeah, well, that's
which
true.
I agree with.
that's part of it.
If we can grow it 4 to 4.5%, that's part of it, exactly.
Yeah, that's
what's
part
the
of
other
it.
Part, Mike? Yeah. What would that other part be?
Yeah, well, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I would say cutting some of the waste out of government and cutting a lot of it. I mean, what a joke.
You can't grow the federal budget by 10%.
Yeah.
Right? The expense side of the equation by 10%.
Right.
And grow the revenue side by 4%.
Yep.
And somehow think that that's going to be able to get to a balanced budget and pay down the debt.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, guys. You got to cut the spending to be flat. So if you don't spend or you hold it to maybe the rate of inflation, which is like 2%.
Sure.
And you can increase by 4.5.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
But we both know, right? And look, we took this one-time government stimulus under Obama, and Obama turned it into the every year budget, right?
That's right.
So we were just fine before that, and we'd be fine now. Go back, to
$3 trillion.
Yeah, go back to a normal spending pattern. Look, the government was meant to do maybe a few roads and bridges, which they do a really crummy job of that,
maybe
and protecting us, and protecting us, right? Other than that, get out of our lives because you're doing a miserable job of it. We got to take a quick break here. We will talk markets, by the way. If you have financial questions, make sure you hop on board. I know a few people have already texted in, 3930, if you'd like to text in. We'll answer some of those text questions on our after the break. If you want to hop on board here, 830-930-930 on a cell phone and 1-800-616-9236. We will be all over the board today. We understand the markets have been choppy. We were on twice this week on Sandy Beach talking about the volatility in the market. By the way, not the time to panic. Please don't do that. Don't put your head in the sand either. You know, our portfolios, we always talk about making subtle adjustments along the way. You know, somebody actually called me out at the Sandy Beach show. They sent in a text that said, Mike, I'm so sick of hearing you say the word diversify. Well, too bad. I'm going to say it again. Diversify. Absolutely the way to defend yourself and take subtle, small changes, moves to be able to take advantage of this volatility. The world is not ending. Every time the stock market has a correction, you hear words like, imploding and exploding and, the world is ending. It's not ending. You make tough decisions. When everybody else wants to sell, that's when you make baby decisions to step in. When everybody else is happy and hunky-dory, you do the opposite, okay? So now's not the time to panic. It's the time to make sure your portfolio is set up to take advantage of the volatility. If you need us throughout the week, 633-1515. And if you want to hop on board here, 830-930-930 on a cell phone. All right, we'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alrighty, welcome back here, News Radio 930 WBEN. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys, 1 to 3 every Saturday. Hop on board early, folks. Don't wait till 3 o'clock. Esther Goulias, the tax lady, takes over. By the way, Dana from EG Tax is in our office. If you need help with your tax return and you want to pop into our office to get that done, 633-1515. Ask for Dana. She does a wonderful job. Great person and a hardworking tax advisor for sure. And, of course, Esther Goulias, 632-7886. You need us throughout the week, folks, whether it's, hey, look, if you're 64 and you need help with Medicare, we have an independent Medicare arm. If you're a small, medium, large business out there and you're not getting help with your health insurance, April Hartloff, 633-1515. Of course, the core of our team, health insurance is a big deal. It's it used to be 20 years ago when Glenn and I started this firm. Hey, can I afford my mortgage for a few more years if I retire? Hey, would I be okay to take this trip? Now it's, can I afford my health insurance? So we have a team in place to help. But of course, retirement planning, Social Security planning, college planning, estate planning. We're one of the firms that actually has an attorney / wealth advisor. So Tom gets both sides of it. He understands how to do a will and a healthcare proxy and all that stuff. But if you get into more advanced planning with a trust, he also understands the tax ramifications of doing that. So 633-1515, use our team as a resource. TheFinancialGuys.com. Don't forget the THE, TheFinancialGuys.com. Follow us on Facebook And or I should say like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. And if you need us again, 633-1515.
I posted a whole bunch of those articles that we'll kind of touch on here and there regarding Governor Cuomo throughout the show today. But those are all up. I put them all up this morning on Twitter. So you can pull them up there, read them for yourself. It is unbelievable. And these are the right and the left-hand people that surrounded Governor Cuomo. Yeah.
By the way, you sent me this.
I thought Percoco was bad.
Yeah.
You know, he's on trial for basically taking $300,000 plus in a pay-to-play bribes. Yeah. But then you hear the star witness, who was just arrested on Thursday night, testifying.
It's really
cross-examined. It's like, whoa, maybe this is a guy who should be on trial.
Yeah, it's really like the mob. Remember when they rounded up the mob in in New York City, and you know all those families went down. That's watch those old stories. This is what it is. Unreal extortion. You know, pay to play.
Bribery,
unreal
kickbacks. Unbelievable.
Unreal. And you know what's amazing to me is Andrew Cuomo just walks right back into office. Shame on all those liberals in New York City that continue to vote. You know, this without change. Come on, give me a break. You and I are business partners, Glenn. If I was doing something wrong, surrounding myself with the wrong people, eventually I'd say, we got to make a change. Like, it's not working, right?
They don't care.
They don't care.
Everything. They don't care. Because they're getting their skins greased, right?
Yeah,
it's the same thing. So
that's right.
In New York, and this should be illegal, but it's not. Like, in the federal level, corporations and LLCs, and LLCs are treated just like corps or partnerships or whatever. And they can only contribute to the national limits, if at all, right? In some cases, they're barred from making political contributions altogether. Not in New York. In New York, you can set up as many LLCs as you want, and you can contribute like $65,000 per person. The LLCs are counted as an individual person. So if you want, you can go out there and set up three or four LLCs.
Yeah.
You know, wire Governor Cuomo $130,000 from out of two of them, or $260,000 out of four of them.
Little note that says, "Hey, Andrew, I'm over here if you need a warehouse to be built."
There's actual communications going back and forth where Percoco and this other guy are coaching the donors about saying, "Listen, don't use this name that you're going to ask for money back for your housing development company. Make sure you don't use that same name in any of the LLCs that you establish. And if you can, maybe set up two or three of these and contribute $65,000 per, and just make sure it's distant enough so nobody puts the connection together."
Unreal.
This is an email. This is an
unreal.
Email back and forth.
Unreal.
It's unbelievable. It
unreal.
Really is.
And these are the people that the Cuomo family has said they're like sons. Yep.
Exactly. It's amazing.
Let's go back to the phone lines. 803-0930-930. Look, if you have questions about the market, we understand it's been choppy. It's been nerve-wracking. We get it. We've been through this. We've been doing this for decades. You know, things like this do get nerve-wracking. I'm telling you, it's not the time to put your head in the sand. It's the time to make subtle adjustments. If you're working with a financial firm that's not making subtle adjustments, consider interviewing other firms, other teams. I know we've always talked about doing a lot of homework with our clients. So when we go through phases like this where there is volatility, we're prepared. We're trying to make subtle adjustments to take advantage of it. Baby steps always win. If you need us throughout the week, folks, 633-1515. Use us as a resource. If you want to hop on board here, 803-0930-930. And if you want to text us, 3930. Actually, before we hit the two calls here, David up on deck first, Rambo Jim. Too sick to call in, but should we use our 401k to pay off our medical bills? What about mortgage? Our husband will be 62 this year. That's a very big question, right? But I would say that you really want to tap into your 401k plan. It's always the last place to tap into unless you absolutely 100% need it. If the question is, do I pay off my mortgage? And a lot of people want to do this. They say, well, do I want to pay off my mortgage because I just want to get it out of the way? And there's always two sides to answering this question. One is the financial side of it, the numbers side of it, the MBA answer, which oftentimes is no, right? We're in a low interest rate environment, so you're borrowing money cheap. Many people have already prepaid all the interest. You know, I see people that have paid the first 15 years of their mortgage have already paid the interest. You know, they're at an effective interest rate of 0.5% now, and I'll say that's crazy financially to prepay that thing off. However, and this is a big however, and there's a number attached to this, and I don't know how to attach that number, but you know, nobody ever comes into the financial guy's office and says, "Look, I'm in a lot of trouble." And I'll say, "What's wrong? I have no debt."
Yeah, my house is paid off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every once in a while, people think we're a debt firm, which we're not, but they'll say, hey, look, I'm in a lot of trouble. I got a lot of debt. So there's a peace and a comfort level to knowing that your mortgage is paid off. I think what you need to do is come into our office. We've got some really cool financial planning software that makes things simple. And, you know, it's complicated software, but it makes it simple. And you can come in and you can play what I call the what if game, which is what if we do this? What if we do that? 633-1515 if you'd like to pop in for a free consultation. You want to add anything to that, Glenn,
before we
get back
to the
phones?
That. We're going
to
try to put a sample version of that software in the next couple of weeks up on our website. So look for some new website releases. Look for some interactive tools right on our website that you can use to at least get your own start almost and track your own goals along the way. And utilize some of these resources to make yourself a better investor.
Yeah.
So thefinancialguys.com.
Absolutely. How cool
not
is this?
Not there yet, though. Not there
yeah,
yet.
So somebody texted in, consider a loan from your 401k plan. Great advice, too. Look, yeah. if you have to tap into that 401k plan and you have the ability to borrow from it and pay yourself back, clearly a better option. All right, I'm not going to bring David up or Rambo Jim yet. We also have a special guest, Mark Twitchell, will be calling. He's on the live line now. And we're going to talk to him about some of the damage that windmills have done out in Cattaraugus County. Damage meaning people cannot sell their properties and property values have gone way down. Now I know all these loving liberals who wanted these windmills. I'm sure they're all in their backyards, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not.
Sure.
But we'll talk more about that. We'll get to your calls and questions on the other side of the break. Financial Guys, News Radio 930 WBEN, here with you each and every Saturday. Don't turn the dial. I promise we're going to go across the hall, find out what's going on here. And we'll be back to answer your calls and questions. Again, 633-1515 if you need us throughout the week. News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, welcome back, News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're just tuning in, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, the Financial Guys, here with you each and every Saturday, 1 to 3. This is the place where money meets politics. It's an open mic session. Markets have been really choppy over the last 2 weeks. Tons of volatility. Volatility we haven't seen in a few years. If you want to hop on board, you got financial questions, use us as a resource, 803-0930, *930 on a cell phone and 1-800-616-9236. We've been talking a little bit about the corruption in Albany. The good news, the budget was passed the other night and overnight, and all the non-essential workers are back to work, so that's cool. Yeah, I was thinking, boy, how are we gonna function without non-essential workers? But good news, they're all back, and a record amount of money being spent. So that's all good news. I mean, I just
growing the federal budget by 10%, and because we'll catch up with that, right?
Yeah,
there's no
not,
way
not
we're
today.
Ever going to grow our economy at 10%. So if
not
you continue
today.
To grow spending, just memo to Congress,
right.
Brian Higgins, I know you don't care, but Chris Collins, for the love of God, would you listen to me, please?
Yes.
If you grow the economy at 4 to 4.5%, which is great, if we can get there,
which by
five,
the way we have the potential to do very easily, right?
But you spend your spending increases 10%.
Yeah.
How in the world do you ever get to a balanced budget?
10 minus 4 doesn't work. 10 minus 4
right?
doesn't work.
How about the rate of inflation? Growing by 2?
We're out of here. This is the advice of today for the financial guys. 10 minus 4 doesn't work. 6.
That's it. Doesn't work.
We're
it's
out.
Amazing.
Somebody else hosts this thing. All right. If you want to text us, 3930. We're going to get to Mark here in a second. Let's clean up the phone lines. David, I have no idea where you're from, David, but you want to talk about the federal budget. You're live on News Radio 930 WBEN. How are you, sir?
Yeah, hello. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a question. I was just going to make a comment. I hear so often from you and other people that this deficit is over $20 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they're not counting the – that's only the operating deficit.
That's right. The debt, really, not the deficit.
Oh, yeah, the debt. Sorry.
Yep. May, Freddie Mac, Medicare, Social Security.
Yep.
You could multiply.
Oh, David, they've got special reserve funds for all that.
Yeah, well, you're talking the unfunded liabilities. When you start throwing out the unfunded liabilities, now you're talking closer to, like, I don't know, $100 trillion?
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, David, no, they have all special pools for that. There's different trees at the White House for that.
There was a lockbox, I think, for the Social Security, wasn't there?
That's a great point, David. It's a great point. On the flip side of it, you know what's really frustrating is a lot of the states have done a really good job of managing their money. You know, states like Florida and Texas, and people have done a really good job of managing their money. You know, you look at the housing market, it's pretty strong right now. and less leverage than it was just a few years ago, a lot less leverage. So, you know, you look at household balance sheets, and they have improved. It's a shame because, as Obama said, hey, sometimes you got to tighten up your britches and, you know, save a little money. And he was right, but he didn't listen to his own advice. And forget Obama. Now the Republicans are, shame on them. I mean, they make me actually more sick than the Democrats. At least the Democrats don't lie. They're like, hey, we just want to, we're going to show up Monday through Friday and steal your money.
Yeah, we're going to make government bigger. Yeah. That's the government makes everything fair. Yeah.
Pelosi says you can't spend your money. It's Armageddon. We're taking it. We're just, you're not bright enough to spend your own money. The Republicans, they just lie to us. They say, look, government is too big. Government is the problem. Please give me money. Vote for me. We're going to fix it. And they just did the same thing that the Democrats did, which is spend more money. Yeah. Great point, though, David.
Yeah, that $140 trillion, that is a major concern, right? It's not just something.
It is a huge concern.
A major concern. Yep. Yes. Yeah. No doubt.
I just get so tired of hearing about $20 trillion. That's a Pollyanna number.
Yep. That's a good point.
Well, that's the actual current debt. It's not the unfunded liabilities, as you accurately stated, is over $100 trillion. So you're talking about Social Security, if they don't do anything in 10 to 12, maybe 15 years, is going to have like pretty much cuts across the board of maybe 20 to 30%. So if you're 45 years old or you're even 50 or 55 years old, you know, you got to start to plan some of that in to say, you know, maybe this is not going to be there like I think it's going to be. And maybe we got to take another look at where we can supplement income from other sources, because I don't see them doing, they can't do anything unless it's at crisis levels, right? They can't get a budget together unless the government is shut down.
Yeah.
They can't pass anything unless we are at the edge of the cliff, ready to go into the abyss. It's amazing the inefficiency and the ineffectiveness of our folks in Congress from both sides of the aisle, to be honest with you. But they can't do anything unless we're in crisis mode or nothing gets done.
some smart aleck Texan, and it's actually 4 minus 10, Mike. Mike and Glenn, -6. Good point.
That's true. Right.
You win. Fair enough. Hey, thanks for the call, David.
Thanks for calling. You know, before, I know we're going to move on to some other things. We've got a special guest coming in. But I want to mention again that all of the Como things are up on our Twitter feed at FinGuys if you want to follow and read. Some of this stuff is so unbelievable, you have to read it with your own eyes. I just want to read you a quick passage out of New York Daily News that I mentioned earlier. It says, enter Todd Howe, a Como pal turned lobbyist, turned admitted criminal, turned government witness who was tight with Prococo. Howe told the jury this week that how he coached a donor who was trying to get in with the governor to use LLCs to funnel $125,000 into Como's 2014 reelection campaign via 5 checks from 5 different companies, all controlled by the donor. And the sidestep scrutiny from pesky press, Howe said he was careful to ensure that none of the LLCs that gave to Como have the word core too close to the company seeking favors, core development, in their names. Totally legal. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's totally legal.
Scumbags,
that's
but totally legal.
That's the problem with New York. Is it legal in Florida? Hell no.
No.
Is it legal on a federal level?
No.
Hell no. Yeah. It's not legal on a federal level. In fact, in some cases, corporations can't even donate money to federal candidates, but not in New York.
No, no. $100 million dollars in the Cuomo coffer, right? Wonder where that showed up from. Let's welcome Mark Twitchell. Mark, how are you, sir? Thanks for holding. And I know we've got Tom, John, and Rambo Jim up on deck. Stick with us here. Mark, appreciate you joining us on the live line here. Tell us where you're from, Mark.
Yeah, Mike. I really appreciate you guys giving me this chance. I'm from Chautauqua County, and I wish to bring you the news of my friends and neighbors that are living inside the wind factory here. And I'd like to speak for my friends and group members who, you know, we're really the ones at ground zero here.
We were talking a few weeks ago, and you reached out to us online about, you know, these liberals, they always think, well, everything's, first of all, they think the windmills actually work all the time, which they don't.
Right.
It's amazing to me, you know, I go out to Chautauqua Lake probably 2 or 3 times throughout the years. The last 3 times I've been out there, I've taken photos. I've sent them to Glenn and Mike Zimmer, who does a lot of our Facebook stuff. And not one time have I think once I saw a windmill actually turning. Once.
Well, how do you know when you see the windmill turning that it's actually generating electricity?
Well, that's a good point.
Question.
Yeah, I just
that's a great point.
I'm just impressed it actually spins.
They're engineering marvels, but the amount of money that it takes to, you know, to make them and put them in place results in just a constant stream of very corrupt dollars right from the top, and it filters all the way down into our local government.
Yeah, talk about, though, what it's done to some of the property values out there.
Well, there are a number of studies that show a decreased property value in proportion to the proximity of the property to the actual wind factory. There was a Department of Energy study was released just a couple weeks ago that showed that within a half a mile, you had 25%, and that's within a half a mile of the closest turbine, you had 25% of the respondents to the survey were indicating that they were annoyed. Now, who will buy their property with that understanding, that they could occupy a residence that they feel uncomfortable or unhealthy in?
Yeah. Unreal, right? So, I mean, people are having all kinds of challenges selling these properties.
Well, now the government wants to build them. Como wants to basically have the government, the state government, take over to build these because they're having trouble finding contractors to build them.
Well,
that to me is unbelievable. What are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, well, that's the Article 10 initiative, which is, mm-hmm. Just an undemocratic mandate forced upon, the consumers and the taxpayers in New York State.
Yeah, King Como.
King Como. You have some numbers, Mark, or a group or a website or anything that people could get involved with to help fight this, or is it too new for that yet?
Oh, no. We've got a Facebook page. It's called Concerned Citizen Casadega Wind Project Group. We have another organization called Preservation of Agricultural Land Serenity.
Perfect. I think we're going to need to start an organization, though, that says something like Stop Killing the Birds.
Well, that's part of our message, but we're only two relatively small Chautauqua County groups. If you look at how effective the Save Our Shores group has been in Orleans County in passing, protective wind laws in the town of Somerset that was just announced last week, now you're talking about, a community which understands the financial impact of these projects and is willing to change their regulations to minimize the damage.
Yeah. Now, when these things are running, some of them sometimes are really, really loud, right? I mean, I've heard people say they sound like trains coming through. Is that true?
Yeah, they're always noisier than the industry sound models that precede the construction of the facilities. It always turns out that they're...
So the ones you see on YouTube, that's not the one you actually get.
Right. No, not as advertised.
No. Right.
But part of the deal here in Chautauqua County was that New York State Article 10, Mr. Cuomo's initiative just released their precedent-setting announcement for noise standards. And, this comes from the result of the Department of Health not using a science-based analysis to arrive at their decibel rating for, what is safe for people that live close to the turbines.
What will be great is when we realize that they're too noisy to meet their own requirements, and then the state has to take them all down and put them all back up.
Well, that's the jobs program, Mike. That's how that works. One guy digs the ditch, the next guy fills it in. Right?
That's where it's going.
That's a Democrat jobs program there is what
that's
that is.
Where it's going.
Well, I feel for you. I mean, yeah. I as an outdoorsman myself and somebody who really enjoys the peace of the outdoors, I used to, and I still love driving down Route 77 into Arcade and doing some fly fishing in the South Branch of the Cattaraugus or Clear Creek or so many great creeks down there.
Yeah.
You used to come around the corner, and then the valley would kind of open up in front of you, and it was absolutely gorgeous scenery with the hills and everything
else.
Oh,
I know.
Now you come around that same corner, and the entire landscape is dotted with these ridiculous windmills, and it just destroys the aesthetics and the quality of just free nature. Now, amazingly, when they put up cell phone towers, in some cases, they demand that they're, camouflaged like trees because they don't want to disturb nature, which I'm all for. I like that.
Yeah.
But, when it comes to a windmill, it's anything goes. And Governor Cuomo's policy of trying to generate, 50%?
By 2030, 50% of the power.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Just ridiculous. It's going to make everybody's power more expensive and continue to ruin the environment. Meanwhile, the president has, you know, put out, forth a executive order to allow offshore drilling. And, of course, Cuomo came around. Not in our state.
Yeah, California, the same thing.
Not in our state.
California, so, the same thing, yeah.
Now, keep this in mind. Yeah. For people probably don't realize this, but all over Lake Erie.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the Canadian side is fired up for sure.
Are,
yeah.
All, you can't see them because they're all underwater, but they have natural gas wells that are drilled in Lake Erie and Lake Ontario, all owned by Canada, nothing on the U.S. side.
Yep.
You don't see them. You don't hear them. No. It doesn't pollute the lakes. It doesn't bother anybody. Now they want to build windmills not only along all along the waterfront, but out in the lake, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Totally. Yep. The ones on land aren't working.
Warming.
They're ugly. Let's build some and let's throw them out in the middle of the lake, right?
Have you studied at all or do you know anything, Mark, about the like the oil? I mean, obviously there's oil and hydraulic fluid in these windmills, right? They're not running on cooking oil, right?
Oh, they got to get fired up by that, right?
But is there any? There's been any studies or to your knowledge, is there any information about any environmental impact of any of the fluids leaking out of these windmills?
Yeah, the developer is supposed to put in place, you know, a protective berm around the base of each tower to catch any of the 600 to 700 gallons of oil that each of these machines requires.
600 to 700 gallons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And how often does that get changed? Any idea?
Not often enough, apparently, to prevent them from catching fire.
We got to get you in the studio next time, Mark.
Oh my gosh! Unreal.
The turbine fires have already been blamed, you know, for spreading wildfires.
Right, and then the 800 gallons of oil leaks into the ground, anyways, right? Destroys the
groundwater.
These liberals, they'll never get it. They'll never get it. Unreal.
Really, and you guys like fishing? Then you're aware of Canada Way Creek. It's some of the best steelhead fishing in the eastern part of the United States, and we're building turbines at the headwaters of
That's
the
disgusting.
Canada Creek up in the town of Arkwright.
Yep.
If you wanted to put anything else up there,
unintended consequences.
You couldn't put a 7-Eleven in the headwaters because of the environmental possibilities.
Yep.
But again, if it's clean energy, if it's windmills, if it's going down this ridiculous folly of windmills and solar panels and the rest of this garbage, and look, I'm not, if it worked and it was non-disruptive, I would say okay. But it doesn't. That's the thing. It doesn't work. In fact, it's so bad that windmill companies are no longer willing to put these things up, and as a result, Governor Cuomo in his budget, what do you call it, Article 10, what is that called again, Mark?
That's the siting law that he's using for the imposition of,
So they don't work, nobody will build them, so Cuomo's going to build them himself.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to that.
Yeah, good luck to that is right, but unfortunately, when it comes to government agencies, they don't quit, right? It's not like they ever get a brain and say, well, look at these things don't work. The taxpayers don't support them. We'll just stop it. He'll just continue to waste taxpayer money and waste taxpayer money and waste taxpayer money until they're up and running and inefficient. And then we'll have to waste more tax money to take them down. Total joke.
Just need more money and more time.
Hey, Mark, can you plug? We got to let you go here, buddy. Can you plug your website one more time? Our listeners are awesome, and I know they'll help.
Okay.
Oh, plug the website.
Plug the website one more time, Mark.
Plug the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, your Facebook page.
Or Facebook page or whatever, how people can get in touch with you. Sorry.
Yeah. No, we're not wealthy enough to have a website here. Aqua County.
I would bet, though, some of our listeners could help you with that. So if you get contact info, I bet people will reach out and help you.
But really, if you want an authoritative website, then I could do no better than recommend to you guys the Alliance for Wise Energy Decisions. It's published by a physicist by the name of John Drews, who's an expert in his field. He's a nationally recognized energy and public policy consultant. Alliance for Wise Energy Decisions, AWED.
Perfect.
Gotcha.
Thanks, buddy. We'll have to get you in studio. Appreciate the time.
Hey,
thanks, Mark. Best of luck to you.
A lot.
All right. Take care.
Really appreciate
it. I know we're a little bit along in this segment. Let's take a quick break here. If you want to talk money, folks, I know it's been all over the place. Line up your financial questions, and I promise we'll get to your calls and questions on the other side of the break here. 803-0930*930. What is that light that flashes? Does that mean we're off the air or no? No, that means somebody else is off the air? Yeah, forget them.
That means clear the building.
It just means our hotline phone is ringing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nothing really that exciting at all, then. We thought, run on, fire alarm, silent fire alarm, Evacuate? No.
I'm thinking one of the other stations are off, but I mean, everybody in Western New York is tuned into us, so who cares, right?
That's right.
Quick break, 803-0930, star 930. If you need us throughout the week, folks, 633-1515. We'll be back. Alrighty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN. Mike Lomas, Glumwiggle Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. If you want to tune anything financial related, by the way, I know the markets have been choppy, and I know sometimes folks criticize us for not talking enough money, and we always say, well, call in and ask your question, and then you don't. But I understand, you know, when things get choppy, I want you to know we're here. And if you have questions throughout the week, you need us throughout the week. You want to use us as a resource, 633-1515. I can tell you in our office, we've been proactive. We set up models, diversified models, well-diversified models, and we try to make subtle adjustments along the way to take advantage of this volatility. And it's going to happen. I mean, that's part of the – you know, we've had 15 months of consecutive gains in the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500, it's only a matter of time before we get a little bit of volatility, okay? And this is not the time to panic. It's not the time to stick your head in the sand. It's time to make sure that your portfolios are doing the best to make subtle adjustments to take advantage of it. Volatility can be your friend if you're not afraid of it. If you're afraid of it, it can hurt you. And so use us as a resource, 633-1515. If you have specific financial questions, you can always go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Don't forget the T-H-E. And don't forget the different departments we have. You know, we're a financial planning firm, and that's the core and the heart and soul of what built us and allowed us to get to where we are. But we also have a health insurance arm, April Hartloff. And if you're a small, medium-sized business and you need help with your health insurance, she's awesome. Use her as a resource. Medicare, if you're 64 and you're going to be turning 65 and you need an independent Medicare advisor, we've got Brian and Alan and some folks that can really help you. Again, Carrie in our office. Use them as a resource, 633-1515. What do you want to do? Go back to the phones here. We've been talking about the government shutdown is over. Thank God all the non-essential employees are back to work. The corruption in Albany. By the way, you know, this isn't the Buffalo News today. No, I did not buy the Buffalo News. It was here. Tesla has a long road to reach potential of Buffalo plant. So this is the best. David Robinson, which is
how could that be?
David has actually been a friend on our show before. He's a good writer, but yeah, I know it says. In other words, this is just a little segment of the article. Tesla's solar business will have to double in size for it to absorb all of the solar cells and panels the Buffalo plant can make. The Buffalo plant can make enough solar cells to generate 1,000 megawatts of electricity or enough to install rooftop solar on as many as 150,000 homes. Now, here's the catch with this, by the way, okay? The catch is the word rooftop solar. Nobody wants them. and let me back up. Before you say nobody wants solar panels on the roof, nobody wants to spend $70,000 right to put a rooftop solar panel or a solar panel roof on their house when their home is worth $100,000. That's especially right. The liberals. So for you liberals out there that say, oh, this is great technology.
Well, and they'll put them up, but they want you to pay for them.
Yeah, they want you to pay. You and I to pay for them, right?
That's for the tax incentives now. Yeah. But those tax incentives are going away now, right? Because we have a
conservative administration. What kind of taxes? We did a show on this one time. It was like $70,000. Yep. To put these Tesla panels on top of a house that was like 1,800 square foot.
Some of the municipalities, I think Orchard Park and maybe Hamburg, that actually put these things up.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, they would have never put them up without the tax incentives. But secondly, even with the tax incentives, like, wow, with the tax incentives, they'll break even in 20 years. Problem is,
they only last
have a life
10.
Expectancy of 12.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, that wasn't the greatest investment, but who cares?
Who
it's
cares?
Taxpayer money. It's
not my money.
Yeah. Not their money, right?
No, that's right.
Unreal.
Let's pound through the phone lines here. Let's welcome Rambo Jim. How are you, Rambo?
Hey, guys. You guys were talking about health care. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm saying this from personal experience. Any young people that are listening right now, the millennials, the 20-something types, now is the time for you to start thinking about your future health insurance. don't wait until you're a 50-something and then start thinking about it.
You know what's sad, Jim, and we've talked about this all the time, and if you would have told Glenn and I we would have had a health insurance division 20 years ago, we would have said you're nuts, right? Not our core model, not our core business, but it is such a huge expense now. I mean, I think, you know, my premium on a monthly basis is, what is it, like $1,300 a month, Glenn?
Yeah,
and we,
13,
and it doesn't actually kick in until we spend the first $6,000. It's really sad.
I was going to say, and there's like a $5,000 to $6,000 deductible first.
Yeah, it's an absolute big deal. Again, shame on the Republicans because I haven't heard anything about them actually doing the little things that matter, right? Like allowing people like Glenn and Mike to buy a policy in Nevada if it's cheaper than the one in New York State, or doing something about tort reform, which is absolutely ridiculous. I'm so sick of hearing these law firms with their, you know, we can sue it. We got you money. We can get you money. Give me a break.
Yeah, I've got, you know,
I got you this.
I got me. $100,000.
I got me $100,000, right. Yeah, well, it sounds like you really deserved it.
Yeah.
I saw my orthopedic surgeon Wednesday, and I had an MRI on the 22nd of January done, and he says, I got bad news for you. He said that MRI showed that your shoulder is totally and completely history at this time. It's completely infected and rotted with arthritis. He said, your shoulder's done, finished. He says, the only option for me, he said, is to give you a brand new shoulder, he said, which I can do with made of various metal alloys.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say you're going to have metal shoulders. You bad son of a, you know what?
What is it made out of? He told me that. Various metal alloys.
Right.
And he said that, I said to him, well, I said, doctor, I said, no problem. I said, I've got two different health insurance because I'm a retired correction officer and a retired soldier, so I get health insurance for both of those. And then he said, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said it's going to take two insurance companies to pay for this.
Wow.
Yeah, if they'll even cover it. I think in your case they will, but in a lot of cases they won't in some of those instances. So
yeah, the only restriction he explained to me is where he performs the operation. He's restricted as to, I don't know, I don't understand.
If he says he wants to meet you, like in the back alley behind the plaza, I think that, no, I'm just kidding.
I will say this, though, right, Jim? If you're going to recreate your shoulder metal on metal, you're going to need some oil. So what we'll do is we'll take a ride out to some of these windmills, and when they break down, we'll just save the oil for
you. Tap it like a maple tree, right? It's like we get maple syrup.
Thanks.
Pull the oil right out of the windmill.
There you go.
All right, buddy. We got to let you go. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, see you, buddy.
Good luck to you.
I want to sneak in. Let's sneak in John Chautauqua County. John, I may have to hold you over to the other side of the break. How are you, buddy? John in Chautauqua.
Good.
You're live on News Radio 930.
Okay. So I can talk now?
Yeah, we got 30 seconds, but if you don't have time, then I'll bring you over to the other side.
Okay, yeah, I live in Chautauqua County in the township of Shalott, a village of Sinclairville. I live up in a rural area, and they're slated to bring 48 more of these wind turbines up here.
Ugh.
Arkwright's going to get 39, and what Mark didn't tell you, I had time to tell you, is they're taking 40,000 acres of land to do this.
Oh, hold one second, John. I want to talk to you after the break, okay? Hold one second, buddy, all right? Stick with us. John, Mike, John, and Dorothy up on deck. Financial Guys, we'll be back.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
It's the Financial Guys radio program.
You gotta take a stand, you don't have to hide.
It's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. Registered representatives with Peak Brokerage Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at *930. Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
I am a real American.
Love it, Frank. Nice job. All righty. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics each and every Saturday, 1 to 3. We have a lot of fun with this show. Understand the volatility that we've been going through over the last few weeks and really, you know, stuff we haven't seen in a few years. So if you need our help throughout the weeks, week, I know we're trying to get to all the phone calls here. And would love to have, I wish we had another hour or two so we could talk money as well or more money. But now was not the time to make panic moves. Panic decisions never works. Take a step back, breathe a little bit, make sure you have a diversified plan, make sure that plan automatically rebalances so you're taking advantage of the volatility. If you're still working and you're putting money into your 401k plan, great opportunity to increase your contributions. Take advantage of the volatility. John Thur, Chartered Financial Analyst, was on with us with Sandy Beach. He's part of our team and part of our investment committee, and he was talking about, hey, look, yes, there's volatility. There's uncertainty out there, political uncertainty, inflation worries. But there's buyers, and that's a big deal. When you look at some of these big pullbacks, there's sellers and sellers only, and there is buyers and there's support. So doesn't mean we found a bottom here, but it means, to me anyways, you start to see days where we're up three, down three, up three, 500 points. There is support out there. There's people that say, hey, these stocks are cheap, and I want to be a part of it. There's also buyers out there that are saying, hey, look, the tax cuts, which, by the way, all of our lawmakers in New York just got a nice tax cut, $45 to $80 in their pocket for some of our illustrious leaders in Albany. I'm sure the Democrats will be handing their $45 to $80 a week back in the form.
Sure.
I'm sure they'll be,
they'll
filling out
right
that box.
To the IRS.
Yeah, at the end, please return my tax. Please send my extra tax money back into the U.S. Treasury. I'm sure they'll do that. But
yeah, always making extra contributions. They're just wonderful people.
Wonderful people. Yeah.
Yep,
so, use this as a resource, folks. 633-1515. We're gonna hit the phone lines hard here. I did want to sneak in Dave Mariach, or Dave, part of our investment committee. Real quickly, Dave. Tough 2 weeks in the market. What are your thoughts?
Hello to all of our listeners. The world markets, Shanghai down 4%, Nikkei down 2%, Hang Seng down 3%, FTSE down 1%, the Euro down 1.5%, the CAC down 1%, everybody's down. The stock market's up. It's been going up since 2009.
Yeah.
We've had a parabolic run since Trump, so it was loaded up. And as you know, I keep saying on the radio, I'm looking for a 10% correction, and I think we're getting it now. It's going to be volatile for a while, but like you guys talk about, this is when we balance our portfolios, and or if we'll weed out a weak stock, let your winners run. And if you got, for example, several companies just reported, like a Skyworks or an NVIDIA, very good reports. Health insurance company Centene just reported very good. The majority of reports have been good. The 30-year treasuries moved, or the 30-year bonds moved up to about 3.1%. That's higher. The 10 years moved up to 2.83. So this is the things that are going on. Have a balanced portfolio. And if you need money, don't have it. You have to, I've talked about this, happy money. Make sure you have that money that you need for the next 2, 3, 4 years and things that are conservative.
That's right. Have your
folks in the long term.
The different buckets. What's funny is a lot of the reports out this week have been saying, well, the markets are down because of worries of inflation. But if you look back historically, stocks have actually done pretty well in a rising interest rate environment.
They have.
Yeah.
Stocks for 100 form the majority of other assets in that 7 to 9, sometimes in the 10% range for periods of time. But over a long period of time, 8-9%, or bonds are in 3 or 4. But the bond market's been in a bull market. People don't know that. For nearly 40 years.
Right.
36, 37 years. So you're going to reach you were reaching the inflection point on the bond market side. So it's, as interest rates start moving up, you come in and you buy a bond for 2.5%, and you buy another bond a year later, it's yielding 3%. Your 2.5% bond is worth a lot less money. So you have to be aware of things like that.
Yeah. Cool. Still get the wish list out, right? Start looking, seeing what you like.
Absolutely. If you're an individual, that's what we do here on the majority of my portfolios, is seeking out companies that are doing very well, and you know that I really am a fan of individual traded stocks, and I like the dividend side of it as well. And you're going to get a chance here to buy. Glenn and I were talking about a Google possibly adding to a that position or adding two positions to that, and there's others. So I'm kind of excited about it. I don't think there's anything different that's been going on, you know, in the markets and the economy, other than the things we talked about. But like you said, Mike, I think the markets are sound, and I think that
I did a bunch of interviews this week, and people say, oh, it's a political stuff. Well, it's inflation, and I've been saying, I forget all about that. It's just noise. We've had 15 good months. It's due for our buddy Scott used to say during these periods in time, this is when stocks get returned to the red for loaners. And I believe that, right? You need
that have the plan.
You need a shakeout. I would rather much prefer a 10 or a 15% shakeout than for the markets to continue to go up for another year or two and see a 30 or 40% correction. Not that we can't have that. We're not a market timing firm. So by no means am I saying, oh, this is the bottom. I don't believe anybody can time the bottom. We've always said, look back historically at the people that have created wealth. They didn't do it by making panic decisions. They didn't do it by trying to find the bottom of the market and get out at the top. They made subtle adjustments to their accounts during times of volatility, good and bad.
Long-term approach.
And a longer-term approach. That's right. All right, thanks, Mr. Mariacher, you're going on the radio show with us, our TV show with us on Tuesday, right? So we'll get to see your handsome face on WGRZ.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, we're going on Tuesday. Yeah, we should have fun.
Yeah, well, you'll sit next to me, so it will be tough to be good-looking, but try to do your best. Wear your best suit.
Okay.
He's going to wear, like, deer skin that he killed and tanned and made into clothes himself.
When are you coming back in studio? Because we do need to hear the second half of your deer story.
Yeah, let's do it next Saturday.
For those of you that tuned in a few weeks ago, you knew that we made a joke. Dave is sort of he's like a man's man. And we made a joke that he actually got a deer with his hands, and he said, yeah, one time I did.
Twice. Not once, but twice.
Twice. And so I heard the story because I picked him up. We both lived near each other. And so I heard the story on the way home. So I'm going to tease that because we'll get you in studio so our listeners can actually hear the real deal.
Hey, Mike, I'll be cutting wood tomorrow, so if you want to come over.
You promised me you're going to cut wood at my house. You never showed up. So.
Well, let's do that, too.
All right. Hey, anytime you want to come over, there's trees there. Actually, there's wood at my house that's already cut. You just got to put it in your car and drive it home.
All right.
All right, buddy.
See
ya.
There you go. All right, see ya.
All right. We're going to take a 1 minute break? Because I've got John, Vicky, Mike, John, and Dorothy up on deck. I promise we're going to pound through the phone lines when we get back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. And before the break, I probably should have brought John up before David, but I wanted to sneak in David, part of our investment committee and team, David Mariacher. If you're looking for any of our team, by the way, whether it's Ron Waskow, Ron Reinstein, Jeff Boron, Mike Hayflick, Jay Blanchard, the list goes on and on. I'm trying to go through Tom Canavo, Abby Gwynn, 633-1515, 633-1515. Let's go back to John in Chautauqua County. John, I apologize for keeping you on hold for so long. I probably should have brought you up before David, but just tell, maybe you can just start over. Start right from the get-go with your windmill experience up there in Chautauqua County.
Well, I live in Chautauqua County in village. It's the village. I don't live in the village, but it's Sinclairville, Shalott,
mm-hmm.
town of Arkwright. They're going to be worst scheduled in the town of Shalott, Cherry Creek, Villanova, and Stockton to get 48 wind turbines
mm-hmm.
on the rural, beautiful hills of Chautauqua County.
That's such a shame.
Has already got bases cleared out for 39 wind turbines. Now, they've been working on this since last February. With not installation, probably won't take effect until July to September.
Hmm.
So it's nonstop, because my friend lives on the exact road that's going on, just nonstop. If you were to go onto YouTube and brought up Arkwright wind projects, you will see the devastation. They clear cut in Arkwright 750 acres of woods and chipped all the wood. They didn't sell any of it. It was all chipped to the ground.
Oh. Unreal. Unreal. So if you wanted to put a 7-Eleven up there, these liberals would be outraged. But if you want to clear a field to put up some wind turbines that don't work, no problem.
These turbines are 500 to 600 foot tall, so they're not small. I will have between 2 and 3 within 1,500 to 2,000 feet of my property, which when you look, I'm not tall. It's huge.
Wow.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And, of course,
the
liberals.
You're talking about destroying. I mean, I own 100 acres in Alden, and I'm, happy that, Alden's flat, so hopefully no windmills. But you put a windmill right next to a piece of property like that, and basically you just destroy the value of the property.
That's right.
Right?
Who wants there? Who wants to build a house next to that, right?
Whoosh.
Whoosh. Yeah.
Because that's what I want to hear sitting on a tree stand is whoosh.
A lot of people.
I mean, how terrible is that?
What a shame. The townships have never sent a letter to any of the residents saying that there were meetings or anything. We didn't get to vote upon this.
Joke.
Through newspapers, little articles in newspapers. The only thing we got in the mail was from Everpower Wind stating that there will be this map of where these turbines will go last January, and we got it, I think it's 8 days after the date of the meeting. That's the only thing in the mail. Otherwise, if you had to get something, put a house up, whatever, that's all right. But when you're talking skyscrapers in the middle of the country, destroying the views.
Yeah, destroying the views. They don't work. The 800 gallons of oil in these things, right?
I mean, let's say they did work. Let's say they cranked out power left and right. Would you want a coal-fired power plant 1,000 feet from your property?
No.
Would you want a solar panel farm or any other industrial? Would you want a factory or any other industrial type of commercial space?
Clearly, they don't want that, right? They put all those things out of business.
Right, exactly.
Right. How about we do that? How about the coal factories that they put out of business? Then, the liberals put their money together. They knock it down, make it shovel-ready land, and put their windmills there. How about that?
How much has Arkwright donated to Governor Cuomo's reelection campaign, you think?
Oh, well, that's it, right? How many LLCs are attached to this company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, joke. All right, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate
it. I'm so sorry for you.
Keep the fight up.
I really feel bad. Keep up the fight. I'll post a YouTube video of Arkwright Wind Farm to our Facebook and our Twitter feed as well.
Yep, we're going to continue to pound through the calls here. Dorothy in Springville, how are you, Dorothy?
Oh, very good. Really appreciate your program, first of all, guys. I learn a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Just wanted to say that my sister in Indiana has a friend who maintains a huge wind farm that's between Lafayette and Rensselaer, where my folks and my sister live, that's gargantuan. Most of them are never turning. The ones that are just turning for the bearings' sake.
It's just for show. It's just for show.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
And I wanted to make one.
Unreal. And yeah, and we all know if Andrew Cuomo and friends make them, they definitely won't work, right?
Oh.
I mean, you're talking about. I mean, try to get something done in any government agency in the state and see if it works, right? Never does. So now we're going to make windmills? Are they out of their mind?
Otter thinks this is wonderful.
So you know darn well one of those blades is coming off.
The bottom line is it probably takes a lot more energy to make the stuff and maintain it than you will ever, ever, ever get out of it.
Absolutely, it does.
Again, this is, but you have to understand, this is a giant government money laundering Democrat scheme. That's how this works.
Right.
So I'm sure Arkwright makes a giant donation to the Cuomo campaign.
Sure.
Right?
In 17 different LLCs. Yep.
That's right. Yep. Cuomo then picks them to build these farms. They use taxpayer money to pay for it.
Doesn't even worry about what the cost is. Right.
No,
we're not
going to
shop it around or.
No, don't worry about the cost because the Arkwright folks, I'm sure, are going to walk away making gajillions and dollars that they can turn back around and donate again. Yeah. It's the same thing with Solar City, same thing with Solyndra, all these places, right?
Yeah.
It's a giant Democrat money laundering
machine. The good, there is one good news, though. The Solar City plant that Andrew put $50 million of our money in Syracuse, it's now vacant. Maybe we can build them there. Yeah.
The homeless in there.
Yeah.
Maybe also I wanted to say for people worried about their medical cost, I don't know if they know it, but because of Muhammad, whatever, that was in the White House, he didn't want his people to be doing abortions on the little babies that might make us a Muslim country. You can have health care if you are a religious organization that cost shares. And there are several Christian ones that really help bring down family costs through cost sharing. And they're Muslim ones, I'm sure. And they're probably all religious-based ones. Slowly, I know there are several Christian ones, which missionaries and pastors and my sister has used. You have to usually be a churchgoer, but it's a good pool. And
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger to the show. We're going to continue to pound through the phone lines here. Let's welcome Mike in Wheatfield. How are you, Mike?
Good. On yesterday's Buffalo News, that's Friday February 9th, there's an article entitled Lawmakers Question Cuomo on Plans for a Tax End Run. He's trying to get around the federal government. You know how they're going to cut.
Sure. Well, they're going to eliminate the ability to deduct your state state taxes. Yep.
Well, he has to get these proposals in by Thursday to the assembly and the legislature. And these are crazy proposals. While this, of course, is supposed to make up the money that the feds are cutting to the state.
Yeah. Well, now all the liberals are worried that the people that actually pay taxes, the quote, bad people, the one percenters, are actually going to leave, which they are, and they're leaving in droves.
He wants to create charitable organizations
mm-hmm.
so that people can donate money to their local school districts, and in turn, they can use that to deduct off their income taxes.
You know, the question would be, I have to get Esther on the show, if they do that, are we obligated to pay the state tax then? If it's a charity. I don't like that charity.
I mean, how's that?
I want to give all my money to Mikey's Way, not New York State.
You're going to. It sounds like you're going to donate more money than you're going to get.
Of course we are, right? I mean, we're donating all kinds of money. Look at a state like Florida where there's no state tax and their roads are actually good.
And this other proposal is really weird. I don't understand this one where you want to create a new payroll tax, a new tax.
Mm-hmm. He wants to shift it to the employers, yeah.
And you hear that? And
yep.
Employers are going to...
Yep. They'll do everything, Mike, but except for cut expenses. He will do everything. These liberals will do everything but cut expenses. Our budget is double the size of Florida. Double the size of Florida with less people, and they will do everything but actually cut expenses.
But how do you think that's going to work when they shift this giant burden? I mean, haven't we been abused enough as
right.
small business owners?
Right,
seriously, right?
It's already
we
20.
We have the highest unemployment rates in the country, tax in the country. We have the highest New York State disability in the country. We have the highest workers' comp in the country. We have the highest state income tax load in the country outside of California.
My favorite is how much of a moron he is. He says, well, we'll just shift it to the employers, and what the employers will do is they'll just reduce the salary to their employee by the equal amount. Oh, yeah, that conversation
sure.
will go over real well. Hey, little
yeah.
Billy, just so you know, I'm cutting your pay by 25% because the state taxes are going to hit me now. That'll go over great. These guys, they're... You just can't,
it.
No.
I tell you, here's what exactly will happen, though, is what we'll do is we'll say, okay, just like you have to volunteer to pay your taxes, you'll have to volunteer to come to work. We'll no longer be able to tell you what hours you have to work. We'll have to make you a 1099 employee
right.
so that you're not on W-2 salaried person,
yep.
which means you won't have workers' comp, you won't have disability,
yep.
you won't have all these things. And if you don't show up for work, then you're not going to have a job either because you'll no longer be a, quote, subcontractor for that business. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that businesses will find ways around it. Or they will start picking up giant
yeah.
things like call centers and moving them to Carolina,
well, that's
moving
where
them
it's
to
going.
Tennessee,
yeah.
moving them to Texas,
yep.
moving them to India or other
right.
places like that.
The only reason people will be left is because they will be forced to stay here because they won't be able to sell their homes. I mean, that's really it.
What he needs to do is, for years we've known, he doesn't mention anything about cutting, like
no.
have the, you know.
No. Do you know there's a huge percentage of the welfare checks actually get cashed outside of the state? They don't even live here. And these people in Albany are such morons, they won't even look at it.
There's no residency. You can come in here from...
No, you can come in here. You fly
sure.
in here. You hop in a car, by the way, that New York State pays for, to bring you to the agency to sign up for welfare. You get back in the car. You go back to the airport and fly down and get your check for welfare. It's a joke.
Yep.
It's an absolute joke. Hey,
all
thanks for the call,
you
Mike.
And me. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Let's continue to go. We have a special guest coming in at 2:30. We're going to talk a little bit of identity theft here, so I want to continue to go through the phone calls here. Vicky, how are you? Vicky in Strikersville.
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I want to preface this by saying that I'm a very conservative Republican. However, on you guys talking about the windmills, I live out in Strikersville, New York, and my house faces those windmills, and I got to tell you, we don't have town taxes because of those windmills, number one. Number two, those windmills saved so many farmers out here from going bankrupt. And my husband was a real estate agent, and you can't believe how many people wanted property with windmills on.
Well, I will tell you this. I don't live out there, but you're the first one that lives out there that called and said they're happy with them.
Ever.
ever.
We literally have just had seven calls
here, and every one of them did not say that.
I know. I've been listening, and I got really fired up about it because I don't really think that they're ugly, personally. And I got to tell you, the cows don't seem to mind them out here.
Well, the cows, I mean, that's ridiculous, right? Cows don't mind them. They, I got to tell you, I just personally, Vicki, I think they are ugly. I think they totally destroy the landscape.
You have every right to think that. The thing is I'm an avid hunter as well.
Yeah.
Avid outdoors person, and they really don't bother me. And
yeah.
I think there is a purpose and a place for them. I am all for coal energy. I am all for oil and offshore drilling.
We don't misunderstand us. We think there is a purpose of it. If they work and people want them. I guess you're the first, though, that has called here today out of Strikersville because other people have called, and nobody has said they're not paying taxes out of that. I don't know where you get that. We got to take a quick break. I'm going to put you on hold here. News Radio 930, WBN. All righty. Welcome back. News Radio 930, WBEN. Mike Lomas, Glumwiggle Financial Guys. Holly Hubert in studio with us. We're going to talk about cybercrime a little bit here, but I'm going to clean up the phones. That good with you, Holly? Thanks for spending some time with us.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. First time on radio?
No, I've done it a few times.
FBI. Nothing to be nervous about. We're the number one show in this whole town. 50, 60, 100,000 people listening. Nothing to be nervous about.
No problem.
I told Holly during the break, I said, look, there's absolutely no way you could say anything that would put you in a position of not being great because Glenn and I have basically done it all. We've screwed up so many darn times over 20 years that there's absolutely nothing you could screw up that we haven't already done. So
you've set the bar so low, you could just tiptoe right over it. That's it.
That's it. And I think that's why WBN has kept us around because we were so bad 20 years ago that we actually slowly started to get a little better. And so when you move from like out of a scale of 1 to 10 from like a 1 to 3, everybody's like, look at these guys. Look at the improvement.
See, we've paced ourselves. It's 1 to 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. Now we're like 5.8-ish. I mean, we still have some upside to go.
That's right. In Common Core math, that puts us at a 12.
That's right. Like the tortoise. We're the tortoise.
So, Holly, we're going to talk about cybercrime. Let me just clean up the phone lines real quick, okay? Vicki, I'll just give you the final thought here. Thank you for calling in, by the way.
No problem.
Yeah. So, Vicki, do me a favor. Why don't you call into our office, 633-1515, because we didn't want it to be a windmill show. We had somebody call in before, and I said, hey, call in. But call in. I'd love to have you on the show for a longer period, okay? So we could talk more about it.
All right, I will do that.
633-1515, all right? Cool.
You got it.
All right, thanks.
Let's bring her on and Mark on.
And I don't even think it's a debate. It's like, let's really figure out the bottom line with some of this stuff. Kathy in Somerset. How are you, Kathy?
I'm fine, but my blood's boiling. I heard the last caller. I had to leave a beautiful 100-acre farm. I know I've told you before I won't be really long, but the noise that those things make are terrible. And the fact that she was talking so well about him, I'm wondering if she might not have signed a good neighbor clause with the wind company. If they put them too close to somebody's house, they pay the people to promote them, and the other thing, Sheldon is starting to pay town taxes. They only pay a tenth of your tax bill, and in Orangeville, where I came from, is starting to actually they're suing the wind company because they haven't fixed the roads in the Orangeville. Wind turbines are breaking. They're constantly.
Yeah. They pay a tenth of your taxes, and your property values have dropped by 75%.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Mike. It's so funny. We share the same brain.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to just pound through these here. John in Rochester, how are you? Quick.
Hey, Glenn and Mike. I'm doing good. You know, it's ironic. I'm not against solar and wind, but it's ironic that I think I heard one of your callers say that they had to tear down 700 acres of land.
Yes.
With trees.
Right.
Trees are our friend.
Right. right. Yeah, that's the biggest defense against global warming, right?
They're not even selling the lumber. They're just clear cutting, throwing it in a chipper shredder, and leaving it right there.
Yeah, but it's okay, John. Great. In the name of a windmill, it's fine. But if you wanted to set up a 7-Eleven, No way.
Yeah, yep. So we gotta burn this whole forest down in the name of the environment, yes, so that we don't have global warming. I mean, it's the most preposterous thing, right?
Yeah.
And the biggest, not only aesthetic.
I'm gonna start blaming the windmill factories on this freezing cold winter we've had here. That's the problem.
Trees, but more important than that is trees take carbon dioxide and make oxygen.
Yes, and guess what? They're way more pretty than a stupid looking windmill.
So,
yep.
Come on, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wonder if like, which reduces carbon more, right?
Right.
Whacking
out 700 acres of.
Yeah. So what's the offset there? I'd love to see some physicist or some environmentalist or somebody come up with the math on that to say.
We'll call Andrew this week. We'll get Andrew on the show this week.
Seriously.
No.
How much does a windmill produce energy wise that is not being used for natural gas or coal or something like that? How much carbon dioxide would that have put in the air? How much is it saving versus how much would the trees have absorbed anyways that you just cut down?
Yeah, by the way, a text just came in. I also live in Strikersville. Just paid $1,903 in land taxes on my property assessed at $127,000. So, Vicky, I really hope you call me 633-1515 during the week so we can get you on. But I do have this smelly, stinky feeling that you're involved with these windmills some way, shape, or form. John, thanks for the call, buddy. You're going to be joining us in the next few weeks here with live in studio, right?
Yeah, I'll be there, guys.
All right, sounds good. Let me just wrap up David here in Toronto real quickly because we're going to switch topics. David, how are you?
Yeah, I've got two things for you.
Oh, our electric car friend, David. How are you, buddy? Did you buy one yet?
The first thing is that nobody would ever.
Did you buy one yet, David? Did you get your electric car yet?
What has an electric car to do with it?
Well, that was, remember you called a few weeks ago where everybody should be driving electric cars, you remember?
Yes.
And Glenn asked you which one you drove and you didn't have one?
No, I still don't have one.
Oh, okay.
One.
Just
okay.
Curious.
So
all right.
Tell us about the windmills.
Tell us about the windmills now.
Quickly, please.
Let's get to the point.
Yeah, let's get to the point.
That why Mr. The Secretary of, Energy Secretary exempted Florida from offshore drilling?
What did he say? I'm sorry.
Energy Secretary, you mean, what's his name out of Texas?
Number two. This issue of.
I didn't catch number one.
I didn't catch number one, David. I have no idea what you just said.
Something about offshore drilling. I didn't follow.
All right, let's go to number two.
Florida has been exempted from offshore drilling. There will be no offshore drilling in near Florida coastal areas.
Okay.
All right, why? Number one. Number two, they give me a proof that somebody cut 700 acres of trees to put a wind farm.
Well, this is not a wind farm show, so... But these people, listen, David, you're asking, somebody called in and said that. And I just said, look, we'll try to reach out to Vicky and try to get the information so we can have a show on windmills and figure it out, right?
Please find out where it happened. And nobody in his right mind would cut 700 acres of trees to put a wind farm.
Well, nobody said Como was in his right mind. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're moving way too fast, buddy.
Right.
No one said that Como was in his right mind by any stretch. But I appreciate your comments.
Thanks for the call, David.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll do a whole show. I swear.
Absolutely.
We promise.
We'll try to get some pros and cons
Mark,
on. We'll get everybody on. Yep.
Yeah, we'll get some information on it. We'll get some background material.
Yep.
We'll do a whole show on it, promise.
Absolutely. We're going to switch gears here. Just tuning in, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. By the way, if you need us throughout the week, folks, I understand tons of volatility out there. We did two shows this week on Sandy Beach, all about the markets, and we brought a chartered financial analyst on, John Thurr, part of our team. You need us, 633-1515. Use us as a resource. Holly Hubert in studio with us. Holly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your business.
I retired.
Tell us a little about your background. Yeah, sorry.
I just retired from the FBI after 25 years.
Awesome.
Oh, it was a blessed, amazing ride. And I started up a cybersecurity company.
Can I ask you, you've been the FBI for how long?
25.
You look like you're 28 years old.
Thank you. Thank you. This is why my family loves your business.
I'm always intrigued by people that look so young because I have tried everything and I just continue to look older and older and older. Older and older. I don't know. Every time I try to look younger, I try to work out. I try to look out. I'm at the gym. I'm on the treadmill. And I get there. I look in the mirror. And by the time I'm leaving, I have more gray hair than when I got there.
Yeah.
Like, forget it. So
I just walk by the gym. I don't even bother going. It's a lost cause for me.
All right. So 25 years of the FBI. And then you retired.
Yes.
And tell us about your business.
I started a cybersecurity consultancy, and it's a full-service cybersecurity and risk mitigation business. We do all things cyber.
It's really amazing how everything is moving in that direction. It really is. You look at retail, right, and the struggle that some of these big box stores are having, where, you know, just the old school days of even the people that said, I'm not going to buy online. I got to see it. They're buying online.
Absolutely.
You know, I find myself.
Everybody's getting hacked. It's not just the businesses. It's the Social Security Administration. It's the FBI in some cases.
It's some of the businesses that are supposed to be protecting us.
Absolutely. It's true.
Yeah, the credit monitoring agency. That's right. Like craziness.
Yeah.
It's an ever-increasing threat, and it's a global threat. It affects businesses, people, individuals. There's millions and millions of dollars invested every year for prevention measures. And I say this is an 85% business. No matter what we do to mitigate a risk, you still are exposed to something, because you have to think about all the people that are in the all over the globe that are staying up all night to get in to your financial guy's network.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's, you know, it's funny. It's not like, so the old school days, I had this retail shop. And I'm worried that somebody's going to break in the window. I'm worried that somebody's going to try to pick the lock, right?
Exactly.
They could be coming from Indonesia.
That's right. Yeah. And you can't really track always where people come from, because they IP hop around the globe and then commit a hack. And it's very, very difficult for law enforcement to arrest people. So it's not really a law enforcement solution. You don't really see cyber criminals going to jail often enough.
Yeah,
you know, no, you definitely don't.
We have perpetrators in foreign countries, so the best we can do as Americans and as American businesses is protect ourselves. So our best defense is a good offense. We need to protect and harden ourselves against a threat.
And you're starting a perfect business at the perfect time, because in our business, a lot of the regulatory agencies like FINRA are starting to mandate cyber testing, cyber security. We have to do penetration testing every year. We have done that for the last several years. And so we're constantly testing our systems. Doesn't mean, as you said, anything is perfect. I mean, we so far, knock on wood, have been fortunate enough not to have had any issues. But when you look at the places that they're getting into, Experian, right, the credit reporting agency, Social Security Administration, the elections, the state election, booze or criteria, whatever. So
the DMV. Oh no, that was that was the Democratic Party. Sorry. Yeah. By the way, Holly's views do not represent the views of us. So I don't want to bring Holly
vice
into
versa.
This.
The views of the financial guys do not reflect the views of Holly.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you haven't heard mine yet, so maybe they do.
Maybe they do. That's right. That's right. Tell us. Give us a 50,000-foot view if I'm a small business owner. Maybe some of the stuff I should be doing to protect myself.
Oh, great question. The first thing we do is a comprehensive risk assessment. When you walk into any business, you should have a baseline of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's kind of two problems in IT. Most businesses here that are small and medium outsource their IT. So when you outsource your IT for business reasons, they're paid to get your computer assets working to achieve your company mission. Often those businesses don't have a cybersecurity expertise or nexus. So you really got to look for that.
That's a great point. So you're outsourcing stuff, mm-hmm. thinking, well, I'm going to be more efficient. I'm going to send this over here. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what their plan is, right?
You really don't. So it does behoove you to bring in someone that's a consultant that will do a risk assessment. And some of these words are starting to get convoluted in the practice of cybersecurity. Some people call it vulnerability scanning and a risk assessment. They're two different things. And so the first thing we do is a NIST-based, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Department of Homeland Security's mission is to make sure that this template is scalable and flexible for businesses. So my company, we built a proprietary tool using the NIST standards and framework, and we put in extra measures that we control for. And so it's a little less than 300 data points, actually. So we go into a company and from A to Z assess what they have. And then there's a conversation with the business owner. You have this risk, and here's how much it'll cost to mitigate the risk. So you're either going to transfer it by getting insurance for that risk, or you'll invest the money in your business to mitigate the risk.
Yeah.
And we just go through a line.
Yeah, and you think about it. I mean, you know, I don't think a lot of people actually show up Monday through Friday.
rightfully so, right? You know, you're running your business. You want to grow your business. You want to worry about, you know, making sure that payroll's good and all these other little details. But I'll tell you what, you know, you get whacked, and you know, that's a big deal. It can be a big deal, right? I mean, I know Target is a big name, right? Target got hit. And I'll tell you, a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm not going to shop at Target. And I'm sure a lot of people end up going back to Target. But still, that's a big number at the end of the day to get a, you know, whack to think that my information may have been compromised. And I got to tell you, I think twice before I walk back in that place.
That's absolutely right. The damage to your brand is incredible. And that, me as a business owner, that's the thing I worry about most, is the damage to my brand that I got hacked. I've been dealing, as you know, there's the New York State Department of Financial Services regulation, and everybody has a February 15th deadline to certify compliance, per Glenn's point. And so everybody has to go in and certify that they've done all of these best practices in cybersecurity. And a lot of insurance companies are saying, well, I have cyber insurance, so I'll just transfer the risk. But I worry about my brand.
That's right.
I wouldn't want anybody to know that I got hacked and I compromised my precious clients, their data.
Yeah, I mean, how would you even measure that, right? I mean, how would you, what kind of a policy could you buy that could bring your reputation back, right?
You get that right.
That's huge. Let's take a quick break, all right? Real quick break. Frank, it was a good quick break. We'll come back. We got Holly Hubert. We're talking cyber crime. By the way, what's your number? If we have small businesses out there that need your help, or medium-sized, large businesses?
550-6145.
We do have a few minutes left, so if you want to hop on board, 803-0930, *930 on a cell phone, and 1-800-616-9236. Mike Lomas, Club Wiggle, Financial Guys. We'll be back. All righty, a few minutes left in today's show. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. Look, folks, I know it's been choppy out there. This is the place where money meets politics. We were on filling in for the great Sandy Beach twice this week. I think Sandy felt great, but he sounded horrible. So we had the opportunity.
The voice.
No, of course. Everybody assumes that. We know Sandy's the
three-time Hall of Famer.
Great
Sandy Beach.
That
voice thing's been going on all over the country. It's not just the Western New York thing. We have business partners in Florida, in California, in Toledo, in Texas. And I talked to him. We both talked to him all throughout the week. And, you know, somebody in every single office has that same hacking, coughing, you know, losing their voice.
Knock on wood.
Respiratory
thing. Buffalo office here has been pretty tough. So knock on wood. I think it's so cold lately, though, that everybody's just frozen. Every germ is frozen.
And we quarantine people when they come in sick.
That's
as soon
true.
As they sneeze, like, get out.
That's right. Get out. Get out of here. Get out of here. Lock your door. Get the Lysol out. Spray them down. So just tuning in, Mike Lomas, Legal. Look, you need us throughout the week, folks. You want to interview our team, 633-1515, 633-1515. Put a plan in place. You know, that's what we do with our clients. We walk them through a homework process. And we did it when we put together a plan, assuming, understanding, knowing that volatility is going to happen. But when it does happen, it's got to be your friend. So 633-1515. Use us as a resource. Like us on Facebook. A lot of the stuff we talk about, we post to our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys and our website, thefinancialguys.com. Don't forget the THE if you have specific financial questions. Holly Hubert in studio with us. We're talking a little bit of cybercrime. We've been talking about businesses. You talked about a 300-point plan that you walk people through. Where does a business or a company start? I mean, I think sometimes, you know, as a business owner, you know, some of this stuff, you just, you know, almost like going to the dentist. It's like, I got to do it. But tomorrow. And tomorrow might be too late, right? I mean, you know, this might be a little bit bigger than a cavity.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So where do you start? If I'm a business owner, where do I start?
Great question. There's three right in front of us now, three major, major threats. One is ransomware. We hear about it every day.
Yep.
We recently had a local attack of a hospital that was victimized with ransomware. So what do you do with ransomware? Merck, the pharmaceutical, they reported a $375 million loss because of a ransomware attack.
Wow.
So that's the magnitude of the problem on one organization.
So step back, ransomware. Explain what that is.
Ransomware is when you're, usually it's done through a malicious email where an employee unknowingly attacks on an attachment and it releases a payload, which is malicious code, and it literally encrypts your entire system. So the entire your entire network.
One email.
All the endpoints, yes.
Could do this.
Yep,
one email.
Yep, yeah. It starts an encryption pattern, and then it just swims. Sometimes it gets to even your online backups. So that's a whole other thing to think about. Where are your backups? So when you have an encrypted attack caused by a ransomware, sometimes people are extorted. They want Bitcoin. The bad guys want Bitcoin, so the businesses have to make a decision. Now, in the FBI, we recommend you never pay, because when you pay,
that means that's
a crime, a criminal framework that works.
Yeah.
So we don't want it to work.
And we never pay terrorists. Yep.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
You're 100% right. In the United States,
we
pay.
It was that one time, Obama.
Just that one time.
Yeah.
Just that one time we paid to get our people back. To that was it.
Organizationally, in the United States, we actually pay more than Europe and other parts of the country. And so we have a bigger problem here because we panic and we pay.
Wow.
But it is actually, I hate to use the word easy, but it is a problem that's really easily mitigated.
Wow.
And you have to plan. It's all in, remember I said the best offense is your best defense?
Yeah.
So you really have to have a full court press and your business continuity planning. You should practice for a ransomware attack. Attacks like any cyber attack, be it ransomware or a business email compromise or even an insider type of threat, it's the new normal.
Wow.
It's the new normal in
so
the era that we
So when you go into a business, is that part of the agenda? Like, hey, look, we're going to sit down. We're going to talk about some of this stuff. We're going to talk about, A, if something like this does happen, B, here's the game plan.
Absolutely. So that 300-point data point plan that I talk about that I measure for, much of the measurements are around how do you plan and are you prepared to plan. If you have no plan in place, at the end of the day, the end of that risk assessment, that's going to be a very, very high risk. So then we'll sit down with the business owner and say, we can help you put together a business continuity plan and also a disaster recovery plan and also an incident response plan. Those are really three different things, but you have to prepare. And so the first thing we would do is test your backups. How do you do backups? A lot of companies don't even do backups. A lot of companies put backups online, but the online backups aren't secure enough. So we recommend online backups and offline, like a disaster, plan B backup.
Wow.
Having like a full backup every week that's offline.
Wow.
So then your
like
data
like
can't
a, like
be...
Like a drive that you're taking out and taking with you.
That's basically. Right. That's right. Exactly.
Interesting.
Unreal. Wow. $375 million just for Merck. Sorry, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say, there's some low-tech things, too. Like, we just came up with a new cybersecurity policy with our broker-dealer, and I was surprised that one of the things... Not surprised, but one of the things they emphasized was simply having good, solid passwords on your own computers, right? So that... You know, after hours, that unscrupulous, you know, cleaning person can't, you know, get into your system and start pulling out Social Security numbers, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes there's low-tech things, too, that you guys
Or even, I know we've done this, where we have the front desk. I mean, as simple as the front desk in a company calling and somebody calling and just saying, hey, I need this information, right? I know that's part of our security policy is we actually have random callers that we just, you know, or we're trying to do whatever we can to be way ahead of the curve. But as simple as a front desk could cause a lot of problems.
You're exactly right. That would be a social engineering attack, what we call somebody that tries to manipulate someone in an office, whether they're at the front desk or they're a line employee, for giving up corporate information on corporate security policies. So that's would be a social engineering attack, and that's another really big thing that I recommend for companies is to have employee training. To train employees on what to look for, especially with nefarious-looking emails. Some of them are so good, you can't tell if it's really an email that came from KeyBank.
Wow.
But it might be a disguised email, and it forces people to put their banking credentials in.
I know this is a dumb question, but with all your years in the FBI, I mean, don't you just wonder, like, what are these creeps out there, if they just put their knowledge to good use?
I've wondered that in a lot of ways.
If you're that bright to be able to do some of this stuff, can't you just go get a tech job and do something good for humanity? Just so frustrating.
You're right. But it's nation states what we're up against now, too, because this is so lucrative as a crime problem. Ransomware alone makes so much money. It's a $4 billion a year crime problem. I mean, the financial impact globally is $4 billion just of ransomware.
Wow.
So you have to think that it's not just the person in Russia that's in their mother's basement that's trying to hack into the financial guys.
Yeah.
It's nation states. It's North Korea. It's China.
Right.
It's Russia. That's what we're up against.
Now, I know we only have a few minutes left, but we talked about companies. What about the individual? You know, just the person who's on the computer all the time.
Great question.
Coming home, you're home late at night, maybe you're doing your bills on your computer, right? Pretty common now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think most people have home wireless networks, and they probably should be very careful about how they set those up. Years ago, when you'd go to the store and buy a modem to hook up to your cable or however your internet comes into your house, those used to be set to default to off. So no security filtering whatsoever, because the manufacturers just wanted it to work, plug and play.
Yeah.
So now they're a little better, but you kind of have to read the instructions and make sure you're selecting advanced encryption, and you're really positioning yourself at home to be a little bit hard. So I also tell people, make sure you invest the $29 a year to have McAfee or Norton or whatever your fancy is with regard to virus scanning software. It's a really important tool. Yeah. And you have to make sure that your home computers are patching.
But even some
updates.
Of that, you've got to be careful, right? Like, some of these scumbags will make it look like it's antivirus software.
That's right. True.
When it's really not even.
It's true. You have to be careful about the free stuff and the free downloads.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always stick with the name brand.
Yeah.
Right. I like to leave my network wide open so my neighbors could use it. That's probably a bad idea. I guess I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just trying to be neighborly. That's all.
Anybody down the street can use your network. Just tune in, right? I'll give you a few more tips here. I know we only got a minute or two left here. Any more tips for the everyday person sitting coming home doing their bills online? You said passwords before. Anything other? Any other tips that we can take advantage of?
Yeah, complex passwords, even at home. Passwords at work, greater than 15 characters.
Yeah, so passwords probably not good. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
No.
Password's not good. The name Mike has probably been used a lot, so you don't want to use that. But make sure that your modem is up to date, because a lot of people bought one 10 years ago, and it won't have the best encryption features to it. Yeah. So you kind of have to upgrade your hardware every
now and again.
And
a lot of that stuff's not really that expensive, right?
It's
scheme of things, especially for the amount that you're using your computer, it's not, right?
Not. And at home,
your identity stolen or something like that, that's for sure.
100%. I worry about that. My biggest risk at home is my own financial data, a spill of my own financial data, and identity theft from my family and my friends that communicate with me on the computer. So I worry about spilling other people's information just from home.
Yeah.
So, and we all have cell phones that auto connect. Some people have them set to auto connect to Wi-Fi. So you walk through an airport and now you're on the Buffalo Niagara Airport open Wi-Fi. That's not a good thing. So you should set your cell phone to not automatically connect to free public Wi-Fi.
Wow. Do you know how many people do that? Of course you do, right? Well, that's crazy. Everybody does that.
People do it. Everybody does it. I think that the new version of the new OS of Apple defaults to off, so it doesn't auto-connect. You have to set the setting to auto-connect. So that actually helps the conversation.
Wow.
Because most people just don't know.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful with Wi-Fi. Use secure Wi-Fi.
One more time, your phone number. I'm sorry. I'm looking at you. I'm so intrigued by this. We're done. All right. Well, Holly, the phone number one more time.
550-6145.
550-6145.
Yes.
Holly Huber.
Thank
awesome.
You so much.
We've got to get you back in for a whole show.
Thank you. That'd be great.
All right. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, 633-1515. We'll see you next week.